frequency in use, KCTVW. CQ, this is the TMRA CW Practice Net. This net meets most Sunday evenings to learn the fine art of CW or Morse code. Do we have any check-ins tonight? Call sign and first name, please. Additional check-ins for the TMRA CW Practice Net. Call sign and first name, please. Okay, I guess it's just me and you, Rick, but I'm going to go ahead and finish this up. Tonight's the last letter, and so we're going to do the letter Z and the number 8. So, let me get her going and see how well your copying is coming along. KCTVW, one moment. Well, how'd you copy that, Rick?
Okay, I have quartz, analyzer, polarization, horizon, citizen, authorize, and I got D-Hertz. Is that a word? KD8ZYH.
That's authorize and Hertz. The D went with the authorized. So it was authorized and Hertz. So you did pretty good. All right, we'll see if anybody else check in here before we go to the number 8. KCTVW and the TMRACW Practice Net. Any additional check-ins, call sign and first name, please. Station trying, you broke the repeater, but no audio. Try again. Okay, well, here's some 8 call sign area call signs. So here you go, Rick. One moment, please. Copy, Rick.
W8TER WD8MXR KB8OTP KE8YE WA8S YD, K
KB8FXJ KD8EVN K8EEE W8HHF KD8ZYH.
Okay, about 90%, there was K-E-8-U-E, that was Dan. So, and the last one, of course, is the club's call sign W-8-H-H-F. So, very good. And that pretty well concludes the intro part of the Morse code for the last 16 weeks or whatever we've been doing this. So, what else you been up to, Rick?
I've been maybe averaging a QSO per day on 40 meters. Kind of light during the day when I like to be on, but in the evening it gets better. It's pretty lively tonight. But yeah, I've been listening a lot, and when I'm able to, I either jump on somebody that's CQing or CQ myself, or got a couple guys down in Columbus that we email and schedule a time and freak. So yeah, I've been working at it a little bit every day. KD8ZYH.
Okay, and how's your sending speed coming along? Is that picking up?
I believe so. I'm told that I'm getting better by these guys I've been practicing with. I'm using strictly the paddle for now. And they're able to copy me well. So that's a good sign. KD8ZYH.
Okay, and if I'm not mistaken, you're doing all this on 5 watts?
That's a roger. I try to be careful to send at the same rate that I'm comfortable receiving. That's about maybe 12 words a minute. Again, that's what I try to achieve. I'm told I'm in that neighborhood. So, yeah, strictly QRP for now. KD8ZYH.
Well, that just shows the what we've been saying for years and years and years and years, that, you know, CW is a really efficient mode. Doesn't consume a lot of bandwidth and does a lot with what you get to give it. So, yeah, good mode. So, what's Lucas been up to?
Well, he's pretty glued to his scanners, but he's on the nets, and I think he did a siren net that didn't work out. I think it was the first week you were gone, or maybe not. Maybe you were on your way, but there was, Lucas County was supposed to test the first Friday of this month. They had some issues, didn't work out. They ended up testing the following day, Saturday. So then that did go on. But yeah, he's been active mostly on 2 meters, but he's really into his scanners and, of course, the siren test. It's pretty high up on his priority list as well. But he's been active. We're both helping out with the marathon next Sunday. Lucas is going to be at mile marker 23 point something. I'll be at mile marker 25, I believe. So we should catch a lot of activity around there. KD8ZYH.
Yeah, you should. And if the weather doesn't break, because last I saw Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, not sure about Sunday, it's not even going to get out of the 40s. So you guys make sure you dress appropriately. KZ8TVW.
Yeah, the runners will like that kind of weather, as long as the humidity's down as well. So, yeah, as we're going to be out there at O-Dark 30, we're going to be dressed, ready for everything. Anything, I should say. KD8ZYH.
Okay, well, I appreciate you being my steady Eddie on the CW net, and I think based on the participation and so on, we're pretty well done. You and I both know CW, so we don't really need to go on, and nobody else seems to be interested, so got a tech class this Saturday, and look forward to that. I think we're going to have 9 or 10 people there, so it'll be a good class, and we got Dayton coming up here in about 4 weeks. Really looking forward to that. The TMRA HamFest basically is a working HamFest, at least it is for me. So I didn't have a chance to do any shopping, but Dayton's a different story. So I guess we'll release this back to normal use, and we got the Elmer Newcomer Net coming up. We'll see how that goes. So appreciate you checking in, and we'll chat with you a little bit. KC8TVW, clearing your final.
WASYD.
SYD, go.
I didn't hear Rick come back. I was looking up. Yeah, him and Lucas are at 23.8 and 25. I just got the list. Rick called me up to move me, I don't know, half an hour ago. That was me trying on the handy talkie. I had to come down here on the big rig. I was copying along with you guys, but you couldn't hear me.
Oh, it was a little strange to hear your call sign over the air.
Yeah, well, it was, at least on the Sunday Night Net. I'm used to the HHF warping through there on the ID, but on my call sign, I had a little smile. As soon as the letters started falling, you know, like that, and I was looking at the other calls on the list, I thought, ah, you're probably sneaking in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, I think the CW's pretty well run its course. We had got pretty well down to one person, so, and he already knows the code. So Rick's sending and receiving about 12 words a minute now, so he's doing fine. And I've got other things I can be doing on Sunday night at 7:30. So we'll just leave it go, and probably start it up in a year or two again when we get some more interest. So. And I think we're pretty well ready for Saturday. I got another guy signed up for, maybe two more signed up for the class that called me. So then somebody else can't get there, but they want to take the test. Can he pick up the book on Saturday morning? So I think we're doing all right.
Okay, super. You know, I still got, what, 4 books here left and some money for you. And I'll presume that you ordered your books and they're in or on their way or something.
There are 8 books sitting by the back door.
Outstanding. Well, we should be pretty good then. With those that have taken books already, that'll give us an even dozen available to do the job with. I think we're good to go. I'm hoping that I get some calls, some more from some others here. One of the guys who took the class, geez, with Pat, what? That's over 10 years ago now. His daughter did have an interest. I'm hoping to hear from him or her. And we had a husband and wife here from the Adrian area. I don't know if they got a hold of you, Dave, I think. I'm hoping that we heard from him.
Yeah, I did. 517 area code. Yeah, I got him. Also got, and I can't think of the guy's name, he took the class a couple years ago, did not pass the test. and wants to retake the class. So told him it was a new book and all that kind of stuff, so hopefully he'll show up too. KCTVW.
Okay, yeah, I'm hoping to do that. I want to pick up any of the folks that I can that were left out for any of those reasons. Couldn't attend, didn't pass, whatever. And then there was that one from the last one, you know, the fella and the gal, remember, they were sitting in the back row, you know. I don't think they made it through to the second day is what it was, and I was surprised to see that. We didn't hear anything from them.
Well, you can lead a horse to water, as they say, so anyhow, I'm looking forward to the class. I think it'll be a good one, and we'll finish her up before Dayton, and with any luck, they'll have their call sign before Dayton, so we'll see. Alrighty, I'll let you go, and we have about 9 minutes to the Elmer newcomers then. I'm not sure who's running. I know EEE's not going to be there tonight. He said, got an email, he's sick as a dog, so. And that's no fun to be, probably the flu, I would guess. So, all right, we'll chat with you in a little while. KCTVW.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that about Ernie. His E is more like U, huh? And we might check, too, on those two brothers that were in the front row that last time. Remember, the one was so sick during the class. I don't know if they'd like another shot at it. All right, we'll listen here and see what happens in a few minutes. W8SYD.
Peter and Youth, NACAK. Nothing heard. Is there a station on frequency that can give me a quick radio check, please?
Sound good, Zach. W8SYD.
Roger that. Thanks, Mike. CQ, CQ, CQ. This is NHZAK with the Sunday night newcomer in Elmer's Net. This net meets every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. We meet on the air on the TMRA repeater on 147.270 with a positive offset of 600 hertz, and actually 600 kilohertz, and a PL tone of 103.5 hertz for transmit. The newcomer numbers net is a weekly net geared towards new people in the hobby and actually experienced operators in the hobby as well, so don't be shy and feel free to check in and listen and learn. We're here to give you some real-world experience and talking on your radio and other facets of the amateur radio hobby. Each week there's a topic for discussion, but all questions are welcome, whatever the area of the radio hobby. If we don't know the answer right away, we'll find out and we'll bring it back to next week's net, or we'll try to answer tonight, or even shoot you an email too if you can give us that information. Is there a station on frequency that can act as an alternate net control this evening? NACAK. We'll move on. Let's see. Tonight's topic is going to be called Digital Ham Radio and Alphabet Soup. And we're actually going to do something a little bit different tonight, too. If you're interested, some of the information tonight we're going to cover is a little technical, and sometimes a picture's worth a thousand words. I've got some information at nhzak.com. If you're in front of a computer, there's a little microphone there that says on the air. You can actually download a PDF of some of the information I'm going to cover tonight. So if that's helpful to you and you like seeing some pictures and a little bit of a script, that might help you if you're more visually oriented. Again, that's nhzak.com. And just click on the microphone that says on the air, and that'll download a PDF document that you can kind of look at. It's almost just a PowerPoint presentation of what I'm going to cover. So it kind of helps me get my thoughts together, and that might help you as well, NHZAK. Let's start by taking some check-ins. Are there any individuals that wish to check into the net tonight? Call net control with your call sign, slowly and clearly, and your first name, please. This is NHZAK.
Kilo, Delta, 8, Echo, Victor, November. First name is Dave. And Zach, I can be your alternate net control. KD8EVN.
Okay, hi, Roger. KD8EVN, Dave. And thanks for being ANC tonight. I appreciate that. Any other stations, go ahead and call now. NHZAK.
K8BGK up in Temperance, Michigan. My name is Dale. I will be monitoring, though, in and out.
Okay, Dale, thanks for checking in. And can I just verify that? That's Kilo 8, Delta, Golf, Kilo. Is that a Roger?
That's a Roger. Darn good kid.
Okay, Dale, thanks for checking in tonight. Any other stations, call now.
Kilo Delta 8, Kilo X-ray Delta, Skeet Portable.
K8 KDA-KXC. Good evening, Skeet, and thanks for checking into the net tonight. You sound good. Any other stations, call now.
KD8SCW on.
Hi, Roger. KD8SCW, welcome to the net, Ron. Any other stations, call now.
WA8SYD here.
Okay, Mike, got you checked in, WA8SYD. Let's move on, we'll see if some other people start trickling in tonight. Tonight we're going to cover a little bit about digital ham radio, and we call that alphabet soup just because there's so many things to, so many buzzwords and technologies that are covered in amateur radio. And some of this revolves around some theory. I'm not going to get into mathematical equations and integrals and all this other fun stuff. We're just going to sort of cover some of the highlights. And we're going to cover technologies like D-Star, DMR, C4FM, and a couple other buzzwords and phrases in there. So don't let it scare you. If digital is not that scary, it's just what you're used to, FM mode. And we're just talking a little bit of some of the benefits and some of the pluses that come with digital ham radio over the old, I shouldn't say old, but tried and true FM modes and other forms of amateur radio communication. So let's move on and we'll just kind of cover a high-level point of view. Digital ham radio, what are some of the benefits of that? And one of them is the FCC actually mandates that we use the minimum amount of power to make a contact. And for those of you that like to check into the repeater at 50 watts, you're probably not doing it right. If you can't check into the repeater in the Toledo area under at 5 watts, you've probably got a problem. Check that battery and check that antenna. But we have to use low power, just enough to make contact. And we also have to use the bandwidth in the spectrum efficiently. And the FCC does kind of mandate that we do that. And digital radio does a great job of this. It has real good performance. Some say better performance than FM. It has none of the downsides to FM. Picket fencing, noise, some of the problems where you can actually you hit the repeater but you just sound real bad. Digital radio gets rid of all that. It's almost immune to the interference. And amateur radio, it's a highly reliable communication and highly effective method of data transmission. You can actually do voice and data transmission simultaneously on VHF and UHF. Another sort of digital radio came about from the public safety area, your law enforcement, fire, dispatch. It took a little while to get that running, and in the late 80s, early 90s, public safety knew they had an issue with some of the spectrum, and a lot of different departments, you know, were having dispatching via radios, and they needed to free up some of the spectrum. So there were things like trunking radios and some scenarios that, you know, using CTCSS and PL tones like we're familiar with. Some of that was designed to sort of help stop some of the problems that public safety was having on the bands with regards to frequency usage. And digital radio started helping that. And let me take a break in ID and see if we got any more check-ins here. Says any DAK with Sunday Night Net. Are there any other check-ins at this time?
KC8TVW, Steve.
WD8MXR, name is Brian.
KD8INZ,
say.
Steve, KC8TVW. Good to have you in there. Brian, WD8MXR. And I believe the last station was a Kilo Delta 8, India, November Zulu. And was that a K? Can you, Roger, your name and call sign, please?
Yeah, it was Kilo Delta 8, India, November Zulu.
And the name is just K.
Okay, Roger, KD8IMZ. And, Kay, you don't happen to, by happenstance, you're not running a Yaesu rig there, are you?
Yeah, Roger, the Yaesu rig.
Okay, on your rig, there may be a little button. It looks like a an atom symbol, almost like a nucleus, kind of with the you know, electrons floating around it, you know, the old seventh grade science class symbol. See if you can hit that button. It's actually issuing tones to the repeater, and see if that makes a difference. And for others who don't know, that's actually a way to link the old wires repeaters together. So it's actually issuing a couple tones before his call sign, so, or before he communicates. So if you can't get that turned off, you might just have to wait a couple seconds before you start talking. It's actually cutting off the beginning of your transmission there. Anyway, this is NAZAK with the Sunday Night Net, and we're going to continue on here. Some of the benefits of the digital radio with regards to some of the benefits that public safety actually saw was increased security, and that's some of the encryption. As amateurs, we're not allowed to use any encryption whatsoever, whether that's you know, a secret code or the old Captain Crunch wheel, that kind of stuff. You can't use any encryption at all over the airwaves. It's got to be a publicly known or described format that's typically used by amateurs. And, you know, some of those might be PSK or MT63, that type of scenario. But as far as public safety, they can use the encryption. And another benefit of digital radio is interoperability. That's where departments, a lot of their transmissions actually go through a computer. So you can link up Lucas County with Wood County, with Fulton County, and sort of link departments together. If there ever was a disaster scenario type of situation, theoretically these guys are all, you can link their systems together. I'm not sure if that's ever really been tested. They do have tests. Some pass, some don't. So we've never really had a true need for that, but hopefully it all works. But anyway, moving on here. Another benefit of digital radio is actually the ability to transmit large amounts of data in a short period of time, and it's actually reduced costs for repeater owners and end users. And when we talk digital modes, we're not talking about PSK tonight. We're not talking about IRLP. We're not talking about Echo Link or Wires 2 or All Star or VoIP or some of the other digital, I use that in quotes, kind of digital modes that other amateurs use. We're going to actually talk about sort of some true ones and zeros. And some of the old IRLP and Echo Link scenarios were actually built on the old FM frameworks of FM mode frameworks, and they essentially tied all the repeaters together using the internet and used the internet to link all these systems together. It's tricky. The audio sometimes didn't sound good. Sometimes it was over or under driven. You know, it might sound good in Toledo, but it might sound pretty bad if, on the California side. It took a lot of people to get that stuff working and all sounding good. So you could have a bad IRLP node on the other end of the country, and it's IDing and doing some weird things. So those are kind of analog technologies that use the internet to tie it all together. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. I can talk more at the end of the net if you guys are really interested in some of those modes. But we're actually going to talk about some true digital radio tonight. VAK. Digital and radio, do they mix? They sure do. The RF signal doesn't care if you're just modulating voice or digital bits, ones and zeros. It doesn't really matter. Put simply, it's just a way of taking data, putting it on a carrier, and sending it over RF. So sometimes it can sound just like the old FL Digi PSK, kind of some modem squealing noise and that kind of scenario, but it's actually done at a little bit higher packet rate. And you can think of digital modes almost like the internet. It's kind of just a backbone that manufacturers make their own protocols or their own kind of way of doing things and just sending it over RF or sending it over the internet. It doesn't matter if it's an email or the web on the internet. It's just ones and zeros, and it's up to the device at the other end to sort of sort all that out. And any other check-ins while the repeater's IDing there. This is any VAK on the control. Okay, moving along here. Let's see, what can we dive into here? I guess primarily the move started, like I said, due to commercial spectrum. We had some of the issues there, but a lot of this is starting to catch on in the amateur radio community. It's not new technology. It first started appearing in radios in the mid-80s and really started catching on amateur radio-wise in the late 90s, and that's when some of the other groups like the Japan Amateur Radio League started on their D-Star project. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But essentially, digital modes, how do they work? So right now, we're using an FM repeater. And if I'm talking, just think of a simple carrier, just a sine wave like you might be used to seeing. That's just a carrier wave cycling at 147 million, a little bit more than that, 147 million cycles per second. It's actually on this frequency, a 147. 147,270,000 cycles per second, just a carrier wave. And we're modifying this wave by just adding either, on FM we're modulating it with frequency modulation. So just the waveform, we're just adding some voice right on top of it, the carrier takes it right along. And we either modify that carrier with amplitude, meaning power, or frequency. And that's kind of how digital works, is it takes the frequency, and a real simple way of representing zeros and ones is a zero would just be the carrier wave, you'd hear nothing, and a one would actually be some type of noise or change in frequency. So we can just simply represent a zero with nothing, or just essentially a dead carrier, and a one with some noise. And there's other methods of representing zeros and ones, whether it's phase shift keying, that's PSK. There's frequency shift keying, where you can do it like a binary, just a zero and one frequency shift keying. That's kind of the simplest example. And there's all kinds of different modes. There's GMSK, which is a Gaussian shift that the D-Star system uses, and there's even TDMA, and we'll get to some of those. And if we think about spectrum, CW uses CW and SSB, CW and single sideband use the least amount of bandwidth, less than 3 kilohertz. Single sideband uses about the same. It's only using one side of the carrier there. AM is using 6 kilohertz. It's using both the carrier and the sort of upper sideband and lower sideband. And FM is a hog when it comes to a signal here. We're probably using actually more than, we're using about 15 kilohertz or 16 kilohertz of what I call bandwidth. So in the amount of bandwidth we're using here just for FM, some of the newer digital technologies, we can actually fit almost 3 D-Star signals in the same amount of spectrum that we're using for FM. And just like the internet is running out of internet addresses, same thing's happening with radio. We're running out of good 2-meter frequencies and good 440 frequencies. So it's up to us to kind of manage that spectrum, and digital modes help us do that. This is NHVAK with the Sunday Night Net. Are there any other check-ins at this time? Okay, before I get into some of the alphabet soup here, D-Star, DMR, C4, FM, anybody have any kind of overall questions they want to get answered or clarified with anything I've covered so far?
Yeah, Zach, on any of the digital modes, and I know there's a whole bunch of them there, but in this area, the ones I hear probably the most are D-Star, and now a little bit of the Yaesu Fusion, and the other one is that some guys are using is Moto Turbo. Do you see any of any one mode being used more than others, or is it kind of a tie right now and kind of anything goes? KD8EDN.
Good question, Dave, and I think to answer your question, we're kind of at the infancy. The commercial space, whether that's law enforcement and those guys use the P25 or the APCO systems, and some of those guys came from the Moto Turbo area or the Motorola era of commercial radio. And amateurs, we're really just starting to get into this. D-Star has been around for a while, so their infrastructure is pretty much well established. And a couple of years ago, ICOM did do a good promotional offer, giving the repeaters away essentially for free, trying to help build that up. Almost they plant the seed and then sort of make some money on the radios to the amateurs. So the radios were a little bit expensive. And I think you're going to see a real big uptick in Yaesu's Fusion system. They are almost giving their repeaters away too at $500 a piece. And a lot of clubs in the area are starting to pick those up. So I know there's one on the air in Defiance and Van Wert. Finley's getting one. Toledo's getting one. There's one right here in my workshop. So Perrysburg will have one. That one just came in Friday. So they're real easy to set up, and I think you're going to see some of the uptick start with the Yaesu side. So D-Star has been established. It's been out there for a while. Fusion, I think you're going to see in the next 3 to 6 months, you'll see a big uptick in that. DMR seems to be big over the border in the Michigan. I believe there is a DMR. Actually, I think there's 2 repeaters in the Toledo area that I know of. That's kind of got a limited following, but I could probably tell you why, but we can get into that if you want. So does that sort of answer your question? KDEBN, NHVAK.
Yeah, I think that's a great overview of the popular amateur modes. It's nice to hear that you've got a Fusion repeater also. I didn't know you were getting one. But, yeah, the Fusion seems to be a lot of fun. And it looks like the D-Star Avatar is going to be more of experimental here for the hams that like to get their hands dirty. So that's all good, but congrats on getting a fusion repeater. I'll have to talk with you more about that. But as always, a great answer to the question, Zach. KD8EDN, back to net control.
TVW.
Go ahead, Steve, KCTVW, NHZAK.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Good topic tonight. It's one that kind of bothers me in a way. From what I understand, I don't believe the fusion talks to the D-Star and so on. Are we kind of shooting ourselves in the foot here, or do you think the competition is good and it's going to eventually narrow down to the strongest survive? And I'm not sure how all this is playing out. It's kind of confusing to me. KCTVW.
Steve, I think you're exactly right, and it is confusing. It is that alphabet soup kind of scenario, and you're right. Not one of these systems talks to the other. So D-Star is its own mode. DMR is its own mode. It doesn't interoperate with any other thing. And the Fusion doesn't interoperate either. So I don't know that we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're just... you know, like anything, it's almost like when it comes to digital, we, being a software developer that's what puts bread on the table. Ones and zeros have a kind of a mixed blessing. You know, we see a new shiny thing and we go, yeah, that's better, and we kind of go in that direction, and somebody else comes along with something that they say is even better. And we put all our money on that new computer, or whether it's Windows 8 versus Windows 7 versus whatever, and most people just want to be able to type a document or surf the internet, or like we're doing in amateur radio, we just want to communicate. And that's where I think, and you're right. Right now, some people are almost calling this a holy war between all the manufacturers. I don't know that anybody's going to win, to be honest. I think every camp's got their following. Some guys like Yaesu, some guys like Tiger. Some people even hate the fact that all of these, whether it's Yaesu or DMR or D-Star, they all have a proprietary chip in there that's patent encumbered. It's got a patent on that chip, and you can't just build your own FM mode radio. You've actually got to get that chip to sort of be able to encode and decode the data. So that's a good question, Steve. I think we're just at the infancy, and I'm not sure how it's going to play out. So I think we're kind of putting a little bit of the money under this mattress and another little bit of money under another mattress, and we're kind of just seeing where it all plays out. KCATVW, NA0K, does that sort of help?
Well, I've avoided at this point in time buying anything, and I was just about the point I was starting to think about D-Star. They'd worked the bugs out and all that. All of a sudden, we've got a new player, and I'm thinking, where in the world, because a friend of mine's got D-Star, and if I get the Fusion, we can't talk to each other on that. And I'm thinking, it just kind of bothers me, I guess. So, in the old FM days, you get a Yaesu, Kenwood, Icon, whatever, and you're on FM and everybody can talk to each other, and all of a sudden it's a different ball game. And I know we're in the infancy stage, but to me it's not an enjoyable one. KCTVW.
W8SYD.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, Steve, as you know from our other meeting there, I sympathize with Steve because he's asking those questions that I was hammering on there. Steve, you missed out on our tech committee meeting here a few days ago. A lot of this week, we hit pretty hard. We asked the guy who was there to help us understand some of these things. I asked him the same question. whether you should have this or that, you know, and he said, well, I think you should have this and that, you know, and he recommended this one for one kind of a thing and that for another, like the Fusion seamlessly goes back and forth between analog and digital, whatever you come in on, it'll grab that same one to continue the process, and of course the Fusion repeaters can be either 2 meter or 4 footer. In other words, you pick one, they're both, and you just have to decide on one. So there are some advantages with that, but the D-Star has some real advantages too, particularly for some of the things that we do or would like to do with ARIES functions or other served agency needs, and which I think was one of the reasons why they picked it up for that. And so pays your money and takes your choice, and I was doing the same thing. I gotta wait until somebody picks one, because I can't spend my money in more than one place, you know, at least not me. Some folks can afford the options, but I can't afford the option. I have to pick one and stick with it. But it is going to come down to that. So I guess we'll have to do a wait and see for the most part. By the way, as I recall, Moto Turbo and DMR are essentially the same type of a format, but one is just hanging on the Motorola equipment as the source, as opposed to an offshore and open code W8SYD.
You are correct on that last point there, Mike. Moto Turbo is Motorola's sort of commercial name for it, and DMR is the digital mobile radio, is the sort of amateur version of it. Same technology, just different, more in, you know, the standard is open, so Kenwood can make a DMR rig, and Hytera, and you pick a manufacturer, that they can probably build one. And that's, I think, really kind of the issue here is, as a hardware manufacturer, let's be honest, that's what they are, whether it's ICOM or Yaesu, there's no real differentiation between hardware, you know, in the FM space. It's, pick up a radio, transmit, and it works. For these guys, I point the finger, I point the blame, whether it's good or bad. You know, all of them, I kind of wish they would work together, but they do want to differentiate themselves and offer different features. And, you know, whether that's, you know, they think it's good or they think it's good to actually, you know, maybe, have the ability to take a picture with a microphone and transmit it over the repeater, whereas another manufacturer says, forget that, I'd rather just, have the ability to link worldwide communications and tie all, you know, this repeater to that repeater or do call sign routing and that kind of scenario. You know, it's, everybody kind of wants to pick something to differentiate themselves. So, I don't know that anybody's going to win, to be honest, unless they all get together. Actually, there's a guy that might win, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a couple of minutes here. This is NAZK with the Sunday Night Net. Are there any other check-ins at this time?
SCW.
Go ahead, Ron. NAZK.
I'm just going to toss this in the pile. I think this isn't going to be long for these a manufacturer, one or the other. We'll make available to us HTs that will handle HTs and other rigs that will handle everything all the time and make it kind of simple, but I don't know if you can really do that. But I really believe that we're not going to have to pick one. I think we're going to have rigs that will handle all three of them at the same time, or four or five. And I think it's coming soon. Back to that.
Okay, Ron, you are totally correct, and you know what, I'll skip to the very last slide that I have, and for others, you can pick this up at nazak.com and click on the little microphone that says on the air, and this is actually a project developed by, I don't know if he's a well-known ham on this side of the Mississippi, but on the West Coast, his call sign is Kilo 6. Bravo Papa, and his name is Bruce Perens, and he's known for the Linux system. He was a maintainer of the Linux system, the Debian project for a while. And he's a big advocate in the ham radio space of what's called the HT of the future. For those of you going down to Dayton, he'll probably be in the arena area, but check that out. It's by a company called Algoram, Alpha Lima Golf Oscar Romeo Alpha Mike.com. And it's called the HT of the future. And the way he thinks about this is he's got a product that he's working on with another developer that was presenting at the Amateur Radio Digital Conference, the Tapper Conference. And these guys, their plan is to essentially, it's a smartphone. Not a smartphone, but think of it like an HT, where it's a blank slate. It'll do the modulation, and if you want to talk Fusion, you download the Fusion codec, and you can talk Fusion. You want to talk D-Star, you download that, and it talks to D-Star. So this is something that might be on the horizon. I don't know if there's any, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road, because technically, they're kind of hedging their bets that the chip that comes in all these radios, does the vocoder, that takes the ones and zeros and transmits, you know, that translates them, actually translates the analog to ones and zeros, is made by a company called, I'm drawing a blank right now. It's the AMBE chip, and supposedly that patent is supposed to run out either at the end of this year or the beginning of next. So if that's the case, they might have a product there, but we're not sure. We're kind of holding our breath. So there may be something like that, Ron, where you can just pick up your HT and say, hey, I want to talk to, so-and-so, and it'll just work, whether it's Fusion, D-Star, that kind of scenario. This is NEDAK with the Sunday Night Net. Are there any other check-ins at this time?
WASYD quick.
CYI, Lucas.
Go ahead, Mike, and I got you checked in there. TDZYI, Lucas. Go ahead, Mike, WASYD NEDAK.
Just for you, on your signal, I'm getting a lot of bacon fry, a little hash on you there, you're low on RF power. I don't know whether you got another notch up on it or something like that, or whether the weather's getting to you. I know the rain come up quite a bit, but thought I'd mention that because you even had a minor dropout one time, you know, just a syllable. But looks like you could use a touch more RF power to the repeater, WASYD.
Okay, Mike, thanks for that, and hopefully this is a little bit better.
Slightly, but that was the short one, so I hear you'd be going in the right direction, WASYD.
All right, we'll give that a shot. If it's a problem, let me know. And moving on here, so a lot of people are asking, look, there's at least three major modes here, or three major players here. ICOM with D-Star, Yaesu with Fusion, that's the newcomer, and insert generic manufacturer here, whether it's Motorola or Kinect Systems or Hytera, whoever it is, I think even Kenwood makes a DMR rig. You know, that'd be interesting if that one, DMR, actually won out, because you've got all these manufacturers that seem to be making a DMR rig, except for Yaesu and ICOM. So, I guess the real point comes down to, if you want to pick up a radio and have it work, pick the Yaesu, and you don't want to mess around. Actually, let's do this. If you're an operator that you want to pick up a radio to communicate with another ham via simplex or repeaters, and you don't want to deal with computers, software, cables, any programming that would require another set of equipment to program the radio, stick with the D-Star or the Yaesu ribs. You'd be in a pretty good set of I guess you'd be hard pressed to find a rig mobile wise that would now let's just say it's the Yaesu STM 400 that'll do FM and it'll do Yaesu's Fusion. If you want to do D-Star, then you're looking at like an ICOM ID5100A. That one's a touch screen, so is the Yaesu. It's 50 watts of power, it's mobile, you know, it can be a base station. It's probably a pretty good choice. And same thing with portable. If you're looking at portable, Yaesu's coming out with a touch screen HT 5 watt rig. And ICOM's got their kind of ID51A. That one's a dual bander also. So those are some good choices.
GVW.
All starting to get into the touch screen scenario where you can just pick a frequency and go. So they work real well if you're mobile or you're going to be, you don't want to be tied to 100% digital. Still fall back on the FM modes. If you're, on the other hand, and this is kind of where I rule out the DMR system, it does have a little bit of a following in the area, but to me, I can't see the appeal to it. The radios, if you look at them, they're almost circa, you know, 1990, where they're single-banded. It's either 2 meter or 70 centimeter. There's a very small screen. They're digital only. There is no fallback to FM mode. And you need a computer to program any one of the radios. You've got to drag that computer around if you're going to travel or do whatever, and you go from Toledo to Dayton and you didn't program any frequencies in, you're going to hate carrying a TMR radio just because you've got to program it in with another piece of hardware and some cables you got to lug around. This is NAZAK. Any questions on that? Any thoughts?
TVW.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, this doesn't particularly apply to your last question, but one of the turnoffs that I had for D-Star was one of the benefits, and that's the reflectors and everything linking together. And when we first got our repeater, you know, people would get on, they'd hook up to other reflectors, and then forget to turn it off. And, you know, so I get on the repeater, and I'm hearing all these guys from Oklahoma or Chicago or wherever it might be. It has nothing to do with our area. And I wonder if Fusion has the same thing. Again, I've got hardly no knowledge about the Fusion. If that's also, they've got the reflectors and all that kind of neat stuff. KC8TVW.
Sure, Steve, and great question. All systems, they will communicate with Simplex. So if you have a digital rig, whether it's a Yaesu rig, a D-Star rig, a Fusion rig, they'll all talk Simplex. So you can have a Simplex digital QSO. And for repeater use, they all can talk through a repeater. It's up to the repeater owner whether they want to do, I guess, what's known as, they kind of all got their different sort of terminology for it. So D-Star has what's called reflectors, and you can actually tie a repeater to another repeater. So you could tie Toledo to Detroit, or you can tie Toledo to a system in Florida, and just those two systems can be tied together. Or you can tie into a reflector, and that's kind of what we call almost a party line. It can be one user, or it could be several hundreds of users or different repeater systems all tied together. Behind the scenes, for example, the NoDig guys out of Cleveland, they're actually running in a hardened data warehouse I believe it's in the Lorraine, Elyria area, but it's just there's no repeater there. It's just a big fat computer with a lot of data and bandwidth, and all the repeater systems tie in through there, at least the ones that are linked up to like Reflector 38 or Reflector 39. they're just pushing ones and zeros through, and you really don't know who's linked up. And so to me, it's kind of confusing. For example, typically what I'll do is, you know, if I leave work and I want to have a short QSO with somebody in the area, I'll query the DSTAR system just to see if it's linked up. And typically the way you're supposed to do it is, you know, listen. If you don't hear anybody, go ahead and query the system. It'll tell you whether it's linked or not. And if you want to have a local QSO, I typically disconnect the system from the reflector or any other repeaters, make a local, you know, a local CQ, and if, you know, somebody comes back, I'll chit-chat with them. If not, I go ahead and link it back up to where it was. So, you know, I'm kind of like you. I don't necessarily want to do a CQ and have a bunch of guys from, you know, I left the TMRA meeting the other, might have been a month ago or so, and threw out a CQ on the HHF repeater on DSTAR, and a VK station came back. So it was kind of neat to have an Australian QSO, but, you know, I was expecting no one to come back to me, so it's...
Repeat it, time it out. You are long-winded. I am okay. Repeat it, time out, cancel it.
Okay, I timed it out. You know, I'm not sure where I left it. Anyone want to fill me in?
KD8EDN, Zach, you were just coming out of the TMRI meeting the other night and ended up talking with the guy in Australia. And that's about the time you timed out. KD8EDN, back to net control.
Okay, Dave, thanks for that. NAZAK. We must have a short timeout on this one. But yeah, no, it can get pretty confusing not knowing whether you're tied up to a reflector or another repeater or, you know, it's just a local QSO. So it can be kind of problematic. On the DSTAR side, they're called reflectors. They're talk groups. We could have a Lake Erie, you know, system that's tied around the lake or an Ohio Skywarn. They kind of make sense, but it can get pretty confusing for new people. DMR has their thing. It's called talk groups. And Fusion wanted to be different, so their repeaters can be linked into what's called rooms. I don't know if they're going to change the name on that or not, but the Fusion is in its infancy, and I'm not even sure you know, if some of that stuff is going to work on the digital side. We know the you know, when we get a repeater here, well, actually, let me put another quarter in the machine, NAZAK. We do know with the Fusion system, the system's going to go up, and it's all just going to be local. It's not going to be like the DSTAR, where you can start linking it into other reflectors or other repeaters, because we are going to need another piece of the puzzle, and that's called a Wires X box. And right now, the guys in California, Yaesu, they're actually working with the developers out of Japan and saying, hey, look, the U.S. guys, for their Fusion systems, they want to be able to link digital, you know, repeater to a reflector or, you know, that kind of scenario. So I think there's a lot of the stuff that the Fusion is still pretty new. If you're cutting edge and bleeding edge and you want to spend, you know, the $300 or $400, it might be something neat to dive into, but I don't know that the club's going to have that stuff all hooked up and ready to go as soon as the repeater gets online. So it might just be some local QSOs. Hopefully that answers your question, Steve. NAZAK.
Well, the other thing that kind of concerns me, our basic purpose, of course, is emergency communications and the served agencies and all that. You know, and the hospital group just spent $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever they spent on DSTAR radios, and all of a sudden now the latest things come out and they don't work with each other. I just wonder what kind of message we're sending to that group. KC8TVW.
KD8EVN.
It's I wouldn't call it a mess. I call it, to me it's exciting. But you know, it's one of those things where would I rather get a new radio every time a technology comes out, or would I rather make a car payment? So it can get kind of expensive. Some of the technology is kind of fun to play with, but you're right, it's a pretty penny.
KD8EVN.
Go ahead, Dave. N8ZAK.
Steve brings up a good question, and I kind of look at it like this. The Yaesu system with Fusion, with the GPS and everything built in, is kind of made for the people out west. Let's say they're firefighting or doing something in backcountry. That system would work very, very well. But the D-Star has its strengths in what it does well in an environment. And the biggest thing is, if all the people that are going to be communicating within the net, and let's say all the hospitals and then wherever the disaster may be, would have a ICOM radio, you would not have any problem. D-Star would rule. It would get the message through. The biggest thing, again, that Zach brought up at the beginning of the night was bandwidth. I mean, we're cutting down on the amount of bandwidth that we're using, and we're still getting the message through. The D-Star gets rid of a lot of the static. If you've been talking on FM for any length of time and then go back over to a D-Star environment, you just cannot believe the lack of noise and how clear the signal is. It's just a wonderful thing. I think that the choice that they made of putting in the D-Star radios into the hospitals and the Aries group was an outstanding and very forward-looking decision. It had to be made at some time to think that there was something better than analog, and they have come up with it. The other night, Jeff, in his talk at the tech meeting, said that there are a lot of things that can be done with a Fusion radio. And he talked a lot about homebrew and modifications and things that the Cleveland group is doing that sound very exciting and gives the D-Star a real future. I will say this, on my personal use of the two, D-Star is harder to learn, but I think it has more to offer in the long run. Fusion is very easy to learn, but we are yet to see, you know, where that's going to go. I think there's room for both of them. I think we're kind of at the beta versus VHS kind of thinking of where we're going in the future and what will rule out. I think they both have strengths, and we're just going to have to see what works for us in the amateur community in general. Okay, that's enough on the soapbox. this is KD8EVN back to N8ZAK Net Control.
Thanks, Dave. This is N8ZAK with the Sunday Night Net. Are there any other stations that wish to check in at this time? Let's call N8ZAK. KD8WBY, Ed, and you might have doubled with somebody else. Other station, go ahead, N8ZAK.
That would be me, WDNMXR. I have a couple of comments.
Sure, go ahead, Brian, N8ZAK.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Just to sort of expand on what Dave was saying, he made some extremely important points. It's important for us to make decisions once in a while. You know, if we sit back on our hands and say, I'm not going to do anything because I don't know what's coming up, I'll wait and see. Well, you know, you're going to be waiting and seeing, sitting on your hands for an awful long time. And when the decision was made for D-Star in the hospitals, you know, that was basically the only choice we had. I don't think anyone knew about Fusion coming up or anything like that. And as far as Fusion and D-Star being incompatible, you know, that's not the first time that kind of thing has happened. That's why I have to have in my toolbox, two sets of wrenches. You know, I got metric and I got the non-metric. And we've lived with those two systems incompatible. Most of the sizes are incompatible with each other. You know, we've lived with that, and we just take that as a sort of a fact of life, that if you're going to do any working with nuts and bolts, you're going to have basically have two different sets of wrenches. WMXR, back to net control.
W8SYD.
Brian, you make excellent points, and you're right. You know, we had to do something with the hospital radios, and look, they're not throwaway radios. They're dual-band FM, and they give the capability of D-Star interoperating with other counties, other hospitals, other cities, even the EMA down to state. So yeah, they totally make sense, and those will be in the hospital, I'm sure, for years to come. They're totally worth it's great technology. Even the Yaesu stuff is right now it's not even finalized. You know, a lot of us are sitting here looking at these repeaters saying, okay, it took me literally 5 minutes to set it up, but I can't link it, I can't I can't do anything. And you're right, with connectors, my holy war is with SMA versus N connectors versus SMA versus PL. It's kind of a pain. Just standardize on a connector and let's get it over with. So I don't know what's going to happen there. Go ahead, Mike. This is NAZAK.
Yeah, okay, then I guess I'm just adding to it here. And when we got the D-Stars, I know that the fact that they would transmit on conventional analog FM, you could use it for that if that's what you wanted, was handy. And the fact that it, of course, would do D-Star was the new kid on the block. As if I remember right, too, we were talking about at one time running D-Star audio if we wanted, and helping to keep that from the news folks taking advantage of that by forcing them over to the PIOs for the official version, and that we could also still run simultaneously with the, say, the 2-meter voice, digital voice, though. We could also run packet on the 440 side at the same time out of the same radio, which is still handy, and if we set them all up and learn to use them that way, I think we'd be way ahead. And as far as Brian's comment, I'll mention to him that I still have the Whitworth or the British Standard tools, too, and get a chance to use them occasionally, W8SYD.
Okay, Mike, thanks for that. Any other stations want to check into that or have any other questions or concerns or just want to throw out some comments? NAZAK.
K88VYI back. I have a comment about Project 25.
SCW.
Okay, I acknowledge Lucas and Ron. Go ahead, Lucas, NAZAK.
First off, hello everybody on the net. Almost forgot. Got back home a little bit later. I had to take a shower and all that stuff. But yeah. About P25, since I've gotten my digital scanner and having to listen to the counties with their P25 systems, I thought it'd be interesting to somehow set up a P25, it probably won't happen, but a P25 repeater or something like that, because with the P25 simulcast we have here in Lucas County, and having my scanner that I do, it doesn't really pick it up very well unless I have a directional beam. Even since I have that already, it doesn't work as well as it should, as it's pointing at one of the towers. But yeah, I was just, stand by. Continuing, I'm going to end up probably just getting a Motorola radio for P25, just to listen to it, just to listen to the county system. But yeah, I've become very interested in P25, and it'd be cool to see a repeater around here with that if it were to happen. And I have a old QST issue here that says P25 NAMS radio, 88ZYI, back to you.
Okay, Lucas, thanks for that. Yeah, P25, yeah, I think there's some groups in Cleveland, I think, that are doing P25. Again, I don't know that there's a big following there. I don't know about up in the Detroit area. I know there's nothing in Toledo. I don't know that there will be anything in Toledo. Lucas County created their own problem with on the commercial side, with the law and police, fire, EMS. You know, scanners, it's a compromise. If you talk to law enforcement, their radios that they have on their belts are a couple $1,000s, and the problem is, you know, the timing has got to be almost spot on when it comes to P25 transmissions. So your $500 scanner is going to have a problem with that timing-wise, because what Lucas County does is they're actually, they have several towers scattered throughout the county, and they're all transmitting exactly the same data at exactly the same time, and it's up to the radio to figure out, okay, what's the closest tower, which one do I pick, and your scanner, it's not as sophisticated when it comes to timing, so you'll either get garbled, or you'll get, inaudible, or even missing transmissions, and that is kind of a problem for those scanner listeners of us that kind of like to keep tabs on law enforcement or fire with just your regular Uniden or GRE scanner. So yeah, it's a problem. If you point a beam at the closest tower, you can kind of try and null out the other towers. But yeah, you're experimenting. You just have to find out what's best. And welcome to the club on that. NHZAK, go ahead. I think Ron, you were in there too. Go ahead and take it, Ron. NHZAK.
KD8SCW. Zach, what? I got an email about this DRAS stuff. What is it? I looked it up a little bit. Didn't spend a lot of time because it seemed to be a little confusing, and I had absolutely no idea what they were trying to do. Back to Ned.
Ron, good question. DRAS stands for, you know what, I forget what it stands for. But essentially what it is, I'll look it up for you and let you know. It's a communications tool for D-Star, and what its purpose was is think FL Digi, but think of it for D-Star. So you could have a computer hooked up to your HT in the field or your mobile, and you can actually send email or text message or send pictures, and it was kind of the FL Digi for digital for D-Star, and it makes sense to an extent. From an Aries point of view, I think. And TMRE did have a DRAT server up there on a different frequency, but it got no use whatsoever. So I think it got taken down. We can look into that if you guys want to dig into that and maybe start something back up. We just probably want to have regular nets to keep it going because it's not that complicated to use. But essentially, the goal behind it was you could talk on your radio while sending pictures and data at the same exact time. And that's a benefit of D-Star, is it's using some of that bandwidth for voice and using the other part of the bandwidth or the spectrum for data too. So hopefully that answers your question. NHZAK.
KD8SCW. So if I understand this, you're dropping digital on top of digital to multitask the digital. Do I understand that correctly? KD8SCW.
Yeah, essentially that's the case, because really voice, when you take voice, human voice is pretty tough to compress, but once you compress it and send it over RF, it takes just a sliver of that 6.25 kilohertz we were talking about. So we actually use 1,200 bits per second for voice, and I think it's another 4,800 bits for data. So it actually did voice and data at the exact same time. And and the radios on the other end, you know exactly to, hey, spit out the data to the data jack on your radio and send it to a computer and tell it to send a voice to the user at the other end. So it's pretty smart, and it's kind of a neat way of doing it. I don't know that there's a lot of following. The software hasn't changed in years, but maybe that's just because it works. So yeah, you're right. It's voice and data, and it's kind of the same envelope. If that's probably the easiest way to put it. Hopefully that helps there, Ron. N-8-C-A-K.
I appreciate that. I think I'm just going to stick with FL Digi. I think that's pretty clean, and there's not an extra complication step in there. Anyway, thank you, sir, for clearing that up for me. KD8-SCW, back to Matt.
But it does do some things that that FL Digi can't do. So in a lot of your D-Star rigs, there's GPS. So let's say it's a search and rescue type of scenario, and there's an area situation, and there's a tent set up. You might have a guy out in the field, and he's got his little mini computer and his HT. You know, he can send GPS coordinates and pictures and that kind of stuff at the same exact time. Going back to maybe a tent in the field or whatever, so it makes sense. It's just from the Aries perspective, it's just another tool in the tool chest. So hopefully that helps out. Any other questions? This is AZAK. Okay, moving on just a little bit, like we did talk about, digital, whether you pick D-Star, Fusion, DMR, whichever one you pick, you can still have your, at least with D-Star and Fusion, you can still make your simplex FM communications or FM communications via repeaters. So D-Star and Fusion, I think that's your choice if you want to still do FM and dive into the digital realm. Like I said, DMR, if you choose that route, you're probably single-banded radios. You got to pick 2 or 440. The radios are cheaper. You can get actually a DMR radio for about $200. But again, that's either a 2-meter side or a 440 side. And you are digital only, so you're just a pure DMR mode, no simplex or FM mode. There's been some debate with regards to spectrum or frequency usage. Hey, what if I'm a digital guy and I want to have a simplex QSO with my buddy across town? What frequency do I use? And there's not a hard, fast rule. Some of it's area or region dependent. With the simplex, a lot of us use 145.62, the simplex national frequency, calling frequency. Actually, I flip-flopped that. It's 14652, and that's the simplex FM. You make your call on 14652, and then move to a different frequency to have your QSO. On digital, what the ICOM D-Star guys and probably some of the A2 guys have done, I know the D-Star guys, we choose 145.67, and I think the A2 guys are trying to stick to that too, 145.67 for digital contacts. So, and we kind of do the same thing, is make a call there and move to a different frequency. Some people just say, I'm going to make a call on 14652 and move to a different frequency, digital. So I think the whole goal is, make a contact on whatever sort of frequency you want, but just be aware of those power requirements, with the tropospheric ducting and that kind of stuff happening here in the summer. You might be hearing some oddball stuff coming in, especially with a lot of these digital modes going on. N8ZAK. So we do probably need to, once we go digital, is make other folks aware that, hey, there are digital communications happening in the area on simplex frequencies. If you're an old-timer and you hear some noise that just sounds like static or a motorboat or, you know, maybe some R2-D2 or whatever it is. Actually, they won't hear the R2-D2. They'll just hear noise. We just need to educate them as there might be a digital QSO going on. So just be aware of that. Try to use the minimum power required to make your contact. And just be aware that there's other people using different modes out there. Let's see, what else do we have here? We got into a little bit of repeater local communication. If you're still not sure whether you want to do D-Star or Fusion, D-Star does have call sign routing. So if I want to call my buddy, you know, who knows where in the world, you can actually on an ICOM radio just punch in his call sign and it'll find the last repeater he was at, whether that's in Chicago or Detroit or you name it, it'll find him on the D-Star network and automatically connect that repeater. So no real programming is involved. And a lot of these radios now, they actually have the entire D-Star database of all the repeaters and reflectors right in an SD card, and you just, it knows where you are GPS-wise, so it'll program the repeater for you. You don't have to do anything else, so that's kind of neat. Try doing that with your FM radio. There's no automatic frequency or PL settings, unlike the D-Star, where you can just pick a radio right from your GPS coordinates, so that's kind of neat. Turbo or DMR does have the concept of a private call to another ham, just like D-Star calls their call sign routing. They call theirs private calls, but it's sort of discouraged on the DMR network. So I'm not sure. I think that's just due to resource constraints or some other scenario. But I'm not a DMR guy, so not really sure what the reason is behind that. Fusion, that's new, and we're really unsure how that's going to work. We know we're probably going to have a Wires X box hooked up to the internet, which will also communicate with the it actually has to communicate with the computer system, and that computer system gets tied into the repeater. So on the back of a Yaesu System Fusion repeater, there's just two transmit and receive for the antenna, and no Ethernet jack, so it doesn't hook into the internet directly. It's actually got to go through a computer, and that computer will tie into the wires. So we're not sure how doing call sign routing or private calling or that kind of scenario, how you're going to actually connect to another station on the network. I think that's all being designed. Rumor has it it's supposed to be August or September of this year before it all gets ironed out. And like we talked before, we do have worldwide communications on the D-Star network. If you want to talk to Japan and you got a tech license, you can do it. So you don't have to get the general or the extra license if you want to talk worldwide, which is kind of cool. You couldn't do that years ago. So digital does have its some pluses to it. We can tie reflectors together. DMR, they're called talk groups. You can tie those together. And Fusion, right now it's analog only, but they call theirs rooms. So you can actually tie a bunch of different repeaters together, and those are big talk groups as well. So just to kind of summarize some of the advantages to digital, the voice is clear. You're not going to have any fading or picket fencing or any noise. You can send photos, text messages, GPS coordinates. Videos I wouldn't do. You'd probably be there all day unless you start doing the 1.2 gigahertz side of D-Star, but that's not very active. There's not a lot of repeaters that are using 1.2 gigahertz, but they're out there. So if that's your thing, that's 128 kilobits per second in internet speed. So it's got a little bit of oomph to it. Another advantage to digital, and I might have some of you Yaesu guys with HD, is let me know how your HD works, but power requirements, you can go, you know, whether it's an 1800 milliamp hour battery or even 2100 milliamp hours, you could probably go a good, you know, 8 or 10 hours, let's call it all day life on an HD, so it doesn't use a lot of power. You can be pretty conservative. You'd be amazed in the digital world how far a half a watt or a couple watts will get you. 5 watts, you can actually do simplex across town with just an HT, so that's kind of neat. Anybody have Yaesu Fusion HTs? Have they done any, I guess, battery, sort of battery comparisons to any of their other HTs? NHZAK.
KD8EVN.
Hi, Roger, KE8UE. Thanks, Dan, for checking in tonight. And go ahead and take it there, Dave, and then we'll pass it over to Dan. Go ahead and take it, Dave. NAZAK.
Well, I'm very happy that Dan just checked in there, because basically we are the two people that have been fooling around with this to see exactly what the Fusion will do. Dan is out there in White House, and I'm here in Maumee. And there's power levels of L1, L2, L3, and then high power. High power is, of course, 5 watts. L3, I think, is 2.5. Then you have 1 watt, and then you have, I don't know if it's half a watt on the lowest power setting. And we found that we can reliably talk between my house and his house, simplex, on level 3. Dan is actually even hooked up on his, where he's putting out a very low power then into an amplifier, and he can sit there and talk all day, no problem at all. But my battery life using a high power is about 2.5 hours. The biggest thing that affects the battery power is having the GPS on, because that is constantly running in the background, even though you're using a lower power to actually make the contact. But reliably, I would say if you're out in the field and running at a fairly high power with the GPS on, you can get 2.5 hours on the battery, no problem whatsoever. I will tell you, on most digital radios, and the Fusion is like that, either it's on or it's off. It is no fade away or anything like that. When it's gone, it is gone. And you've got to switch over to another power source. But we found it had good results with it. Again, it's a simple radio to program, and I like it a lot so far. So let me turn it over to Dan, KEAUE, and see if you can elaborate on anything else that I didn't say, Dan, KEAEVN.
EVN on the net. just a minute. Okay, that's better. I was listening on one and listening to the input on another one, and I went over here to the reverse. So, yes, I use the 1 watt into an amplifier, and talk very reliably to everyone. And it worked very well from Burger King on the Rubber Duck to Dave's house with a 1 watt output, and both of us had clear communication back and forth. I have two phones that run with the GPS running, even though it's just sitting there. I only got about 4 hours, maybe 4.5 hours, just sitting listening for a digital signal yesterday, and the battery went dead because the GPS was running. So battery life is good if you use low power, and it's you want to have an extra battery in your pocket if you're out in the field with that. That would be my opinion. N-H-Z-A-K, K-E-A-U-E.
Okay, Dave and Dan, thanks for that. I think you guys are right, and you know what? You'll have to do some experience and experiments and report back to us. It'd be great to turn that GPS off. I'll bet you can increase that battery life almost double. I know cell phones have that problem. My old Yaesu 8X had that problem. That GPS will just kill a battery. You know, I don't know whether it's just monitoring those satellites way too frequently, but hey, we're on planet Earth. What else do you need to know? So, you know, I don't know why the GPS chips drain those batteries so fast, but that'd be interesting to know if you could turn that off, how long those batteries last. But that is a benefit to the Fusion system. I'm assuming with those radios, when you're talking, it shows you the other station, you know, the bearing 270, you know, due west, you know, so that's kind of some neat scenarios, you know, whether that's an area search and rescue, or if you're driving down the road and your mobile radio tells you, you know, the three people that are talking kind of where they're situated, so that's some neat stuff. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, if you're motoring down the road and you happen to look at the GPS, it'll tell you the station that you're talking to, of course, in call time. The compass reading, it'll give you the miles away from that particular station that you're talking to, how many miles away from you are, and it'll also give you your speed at which you are traveling down the road, KEAQE.
Okay, Dan, thanks for that. Yeah, no, some neat stuff that you just can't get from FM. So, some of the other advantages to digital, like we talked about, there's APRS location and GPS tracking. That data, you can even tell it on the D-Star side. You know, I can pick an HT right now and transmit, or even mobile as I'm going down the road. That data trickles out to the internet, and you can actually see me drive down the road. So it's kind of neat, you know, position-wise or, you know, text messaging-wise, sending APRS data and packets down the you know, as you're, you know, got your HT in your hand. So that's another neat feature you don't get from FM. There's also, on the D-Star project, there is something called, at least on our repeater, since we're using a Freestar branch of the software, you can actually turn your visibility on and off on the D-Star network. So if you do have privacy concerns, you can actually turn that off. So when you're talking to other D-Star users, it won't show that that information, your location, or that you're even using your radio. So I don't know if Fusion's going to have that or not, if there's going to be some of those privacy concerns. But homebrewers came up with some of that just because of the other concerns that some of the D-Star stuff had. So if Yaesu, I know they don't sanction homebrewing, but that was some of the benefits to the D-Star system, is the ability for hams to get curious about the radios and the specifications and start digging in and doing some of that neat stuff. So I hope Yaesu won't put a kibosh to that, and they'll actually let us do it. So that's kind of neat. Let's lastly cover some disadvantages to digital. If you want to work repeaters and connect to reflectors, there is a little bit of learning curve. So, you know, if not, pick up your FM radio, plug in 147.270 with a 103.5 PL and go. You know, you've got to worry about which repeater you're connecting to, making sure you have some of the commands in the right spaces and the right spots. There's a little bit of manual work and that goes into that. My recommendation is throw out the manual and work with a friend or a digital Elmer and you know, kind of work with them to work out some of the bugs. It's almost easier to kind of do that than reading through that manual and trying to figure out what the heck they're talking about. So if you're not a computer guy or you're not a technologically savvy, I think that's the way to do it, is to work with an Elmer.
KD8 QBU.
Thanks for checking in the net tonight. You have any questions for us, or just checking in there?
Well, I'm just checking in. I got my two meter mobile working again after it had been down for a while. You know, I have a Yaesu and had a bad microphone cord and a bad antenna, and I seem to have everything fixed because you're actually hearing me. And I was just kind of listening and learning as you guys were talking about this stuff. KD8QBU.
I'm glad your radio's working there. It's good to have you back on the net there. Let's see, what else do we have here? Let me get back to here. With digital radio, watch out for the cliff. Dan and Dave did mention the battery cliff. Kind of when you're getting weak and getting some bacon on you, you kind of tell your battery's going. There's kind of a distinct sound on FM that you can kind of tell the modulation isn't right. It just sounds weird. And in the digital world, we call that falling off the cliff. It's all ones and zeros. They're either going to make it or they're not. So you're not going to fade. You're just going to fall right off, and that's it. So go ahead and take it there, Mike, WA8SYD, N8ZAK.
Yeah, I just needed an IF quick. I think that was Steve, KD8QBU.
Sure, go ahead and call Steve there, N8ZAK.
KD8QBU, W8SYD.
This is KD8QBU.
Hey, Quickie here. Is your sweetie thinking about taking the tech class here next weekend?
Probably not. However, my 10-year-old son has really started to get a big interest in ham radio since he was taking a science course this year, and they were studying a lot about physics and sound and electricity and stuff, and he's really been bit by the ham bug. So we may have my 10-year-old son Keegan joining you here.
Okay, more of a reminder than anything else. Just let me or Steve know here or something or another like that. But I wanted to ask the question in case you hadn't thought about it. Thanks, Steve. And then back to the net, W8SYD.
Well, thanks for the reminder, Mike. And back to the net, KD8QBU.
CYI.
Okay, thanks for that, guys. And just to briefly wrap up real quick, which technology will win? We're not sure. We don't know. You know, if you got the money, sure, put them in a bunch of different baskets. But fusion-wise, if you didn't pick up one of the HTs or mobiles under one of the sales I think they had last month, you may want to just sit back and let things ride for a month or so. You know, like I said, we got a repeater that came in here on Friday, so I'm assuming by the time they charged the credit card and it actually shipped, it was about 4 or 5 days. So I'm hoping TMRA gets theirs quick too. And I think that's the way to do it, is just sit back and kind of see what's going to happen on the fusion front. D-Star is well established. I don't think you'll have any problem playing with the D-Star stuff. So it works. It sounds good, and you can actually do some homebrew things with that too. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Go ahead and take it to Lucas, and then we'll do a wrap up and some announcements. KD8ZYI, this is NHZAK.
This is KD8ZYI. About Fusion, it would be, DMR, or Moto Turbo, whichever one you want to say. It'd be interesting to see some sort of scanner that could pick that up, because it seems that some departments, not many around here, but some are switching to that for their communications. Closest one I can think of is Bowling Green Fire and Police. So I was just trying to throw that in there real quick, and it'd be interesting to see a scanner that can pick up a turbo, other than having to get a radio for that, and only having it for that purpose. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Again, it'd be pretty interesting to see that with a scanner with a turbo. KD8ZYI.
Yeah, Lucas, I know you're a big scanner guy, but you're right, you'd have to pick up one of the Kinect systems, radios, you know, spend a couple $100 and, you know, do that on the 70-centimeter side to pick up some of the public safety DMR. Scanners, you know, that's a tough nut to crack. There's, you can actually get a scanner and tap the IF there and route it to a computer and use some software to decode that stuff on the fly. The legality of that is a little questionable, but off the air, I could point you in the right direction if you want. But scanner-wise, that one's kind of tough to, you know, I don't think you're going to see that from some major manufacturers. In fact, I think Uniden's probably the only guy left that's making scanners for general use. And it all comes down to a monetary thing. You know, they got to make X number, tens of thousands of units and sell them all to make a profit. So that's the problem with digital stuff is you gotta crank this stuff out and sell it. While we're on that note, though, like I said, check out that Algorama project by Bruce Perrin's K6BP. That one is that's supposed to be where the open or amateur spirit kind of the digital stuff is going. So. You know, it'd be kind of neat to take a piece of hardware and just download an app and you're talking Fusion, or download another app and you're talking D-Star. So that's kind of neat there. Any other questions or topics or anything you guys want to bring up there? This is NHZAK.
KD8FNA.
KD8UOT.
Let's see, KD8FNA, go ahead with your first name there, and you checking in or you got questions?
Name's Jim, I just got a comment. I heard you talking about the Yaesu stuff, and I just had to go on the website for something to download a rebate form, and I see they extended their rebates for another month at least, KD8FNA.
Okay, Jim, got you checked in, and thanks for letting us know about that. That's helpful to some of those guys that actually bought those radios, and go ahead, Juan, go ahead and take it. You got any questions, or just checking in tonight?
I was just checking in. I don't know exactly what you covered, but I was just wondering if, you got the Yaesu with its own format and D-Star, right? And then you got DMF. Are they all compatible, or are they ever going to come up and be compatible, be standardized at one time? KD8UOT.
All Thanks, Juan, for checking in tonight. Good question, and yeah, we could talk literally for hours and days. So, yeah, this stuff can get pretty complex, and it's you know, there's holy wars and all kinds of stuff with regards to all this. But no, unfortunately, they're not all compatible. The Yaesu System Fusion only works with other Yaesu System Fusion radios, the Motorola or the DMR. The DMR mode only works with other DMR mode radios. There's more manufacturers. Yaesu is the only one that makes Fusion. However, there's several manufacturers that make DMR compatible radios, and they all talk with each other because they're using a DMR specification. And D-Star, only ICOM makes D-Star equipment. And if you're lucky enough to find an old Kenwood one, Kenwood did make those for a brief time, but only in Japan. So if you find that on eBay or something, snag it up. It's, it might be worth some money. So hopefully that answers your question there.
Yes, sir. I was just was wondering, maybe hopefully someday they'll all get on the same page. This way you won't have so many different formats here, you know, and you know, everybody can talk to everybody more or less like what it is now. Okay, thank you. KD8UOT, back to net.
Okay, Juan, thanks for checking in tonight. Are there any other stations on frequency that wish to check into the net this evening? This is N8ZAK. Alright, well, hopefully we didn't put you guys to sleep tonight, but there's tons and tons of information that we just scratched the surface on. But if you do have questions, shoot a note to me, N8ZAK at the league, I'm on D-Star on the 442-750 repeater, or I listen to the TMRA's 027 repeater too. Hunt me down, throw out my call, and I might be around there, and we can chat about that too. Let's see, we've got one announcement that I know of coming up, and that's April 25th. That's next weekend. There is a TMRA technician class, and that's at the Lucas County EMS Training Center, and that's from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Let KCATVW or WA8SYD, let them know if you're coming. And testing is on May 9th, and that's from 8 to 5. If you have a technician, if you're attending the technician class, you test that day. However, if you do want to upgrade to a general or an extra, you can take a test that day, but you got to let Steve or Mike know so they can get the tests all ready for you. Steve, did you want to make any pleas for VEs, or do you think you have everything you need for that? N8ZAK.
Hang on, I gotta get it set up.
Alright, no big deal there. Any other announcements anybody wants to make, feel free. This is N8ZAK.
Yeah, KD8EVN.
KD8ZYI.
Okay, Dave, go ahead and take it, and then Lucas, you're up after Dave, N8ZAK.
Yeah, well, Steve was getting around there. Just wanted to let everybody know that there is a TMRA tech class. It starts at 8 o'clock and goes to 5 p.m., and that is coming up on Saturday, the first one, and that'll be on the 25th of April. And then the second one is on May the 9th. And after that class, that is when the VE session will be held. And there will not be a VE session over at the fire station number 2 in the morning. It will be in the afternoon after the class. That is going to be a busy day over there on April 25th. There is an Aries meeting, and that is going to be at 9 o'clock. And right now it is scheduled for St. Luke's Hospital. And then after that Aries meeting, there is going to be a Nivus antenna test. And that will start, that's for the whole net of the state of Ohio. And that starts at 10 a.m. Place and to be announced where that will be. On Sunday the 26th, they've got the Glass City Marathon. That starts at 7 a.m. and goes to 1 p.m. And we'll have another Newcomers and Elmers net that night. A lot of other things coming up here as I scan on through my pages here. You have the May TMRA meeting is on May the 13th. We do have a special guest coming to that meeting giving a talk about activating the Great Lakes ship, the Schoonmaker. And that is going to be happening on June. As I flip through the that'll be on the 6th and the 7th of June. We'll be activating the Schoonmaker, and we have a person coming in from the Schoonmaker Radio Club, and he'll be giving a presentation to the TMRA Club. I'm looking forward to that. I've seen part of the PowerPoint, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun to see. The other thing then, of course, is the Dayton Ham Fest. That's on the 15th, 16th, and 17th down in Dayton. WA8SYD says there's still space on the bus if you're interested to let him know. And then we're coming up on ARRL Field Day on June 27th and 28th. So a lot of things going on. The one other thing I skipped over in May is May the 9th is Islands on the Air. So if you're interested on that day, to activate an island, or if you're interested in just talking to one from home, listen up on that day. And I think that's enough announcements. There's a lot of things going on in amateur radio. Zach, you had a wonderful net tonight. I could listen to you for another couple hours, but very informative and very balanced on the subject, so really appreciate it a lot. This is KD8EVN, back to net control.
Okay, Dave, and just to clarify, the 25th, there is an Aries meeting and a testing session, but to two separate locations. Is that a Roger?
That is correct. Right now, the Aries meeting is set up for St. Luke's Hospital as normal, and the testing session on that, there is no testing session on the 25th. No VE session on the 25th. The next VE session is on May the 9th, and it'll be at the end of the tech class. And that's held down downtown at the training building by the 911 building. KD8EVN.
DVW. Okay, thanks, Dave. And go ahead, Steve. NACAK.
Yeah, I haven't put out my plea yet for the VE session, but normally we need at least six VEs because of the numbers. The testing normally starts a little after 3 o'clock, so if I don't need anyone that wants to upgrade or take their tech for that matter that aren't in the class, they don't have to pre-register anything because we're going to hold the session regardless. So we will be prepared for all three licenses regardless of who or when, but you do need to be there by 3 o'clock so we can get the paperwork done and so on and so forth. The other thing I was curious about, I have not looked it up, maybe Dave knows the answer, for the lighthouse thing, if that's going to be on a certain frequency, maybe it's something we can use in the class. KC8TVW.
Oh, go ahead, and Dave. Take that if you know the answer to that. And that was on May 9th. Is that correct there, Dave?
Yeah, that is on May the 9th. It's not lighthouses. It is islands on the air. And it's any island, any place. Could be an island in the middle of Lake Erie. Could be an island in the middle of Devil's Lake. It could be an island on the Maumee River. And I do not know the frequencies at this time. I can look it up, though, Steve, and I'll send you an email on that. But, yeah, if you're on the radio there with an HF radio on the 9th of May, there'll be a lot of stations. stations out there to be able to listen to. We're kind of looking forward to that. I do know if you got the radio on the 25th of April, one of our sister cities here in Ohio, Parma, Ohio, which is where my wife is from over in Cleveland, they've got a special event station that day. And if you got the radio on, and that's on 40 meters on 7.195, 20 meters 14.245. And I'm hoping to make that contact. They've got a really nice QSL card. But no, it's, if I find out the frequencies, I'll get back to you on that, Steve. KD8EVN.
Okay, sounds like a good reason to put up a 20-meter antenna. KCATVW, back to that.
Okay, good information. Thanks for that, guys. And I did, you know, I'm glad somebody corrected me on this. NAWAC corrected me on this. There are DMR radios that do FM, and I'm not sure, I can't tell from Kinect Systems. Those are the sort of $200 radios. Those do FM. It looks like, I can't tell. There's nothing that sticks out and says that. And it looks like there's a real high-end Moto Turbo DMR radio that looks like it does FM too. So just want to be fair and not just single them out for not being able to do that. So it looks like they're out there. You can get some DMR radios that do digital and FM. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, Lucas, go ahead and take it, Lucas, N8ZAK.
This is KD8ZYI. Sort of with D-Star, how it was very popular in the beginning, and then it sort of dropped out from the interest of people. That's, at least that's what I've seen, like how people just lost interest in it. There's still a good number of people that use it, but still, if Fusion's going the, if Fusion's right now, it's very popular. A lot of people are interested in it, using it, putting up repeaters and such. But would you think there would be a day where people just simply lost interest in it and just stopped using it? KD8ZYI.
Good question, Lucas. And I can tell you, D-Star is alive and well. In the area here, I know we've got at least 100 registered users, at least on our system. Whether that was they first got their radio and signed up through our system, or your there's a lot of travelers that come through and use it also. North of the border in Canada, there's a real big following and a lot of experimentation and homebrewing that's going on up there. One of the projects is called Freestar, F-R-E-E Star, and that's run by a guy named Ramesh, V-A-3-U-V, and he's got all homebrew FM repeaters up there, and actually I had one set up here that was using a Raspberry Pi. So those are some kind of neat, it's actually a Kenwood repeater here, and it's got a Raspberry Pi hooked up to it, and it's doing all the digital transformation, I guess, taking the analog stuff and putting that out over the D-Star network. So you can do a lot of homebrewing with D-Star and not having to even own any ICOM equipment. So that's neat. We're not sure what's going to happen in the Yaesu space. I believe when a guy came to talk to the tech committee this past week, Jeff, I'm drawing a blank on his call sign, KBZUN, I think is his call. He actually said they had, was it GE radios that were doing, some of the C4 FM modes? I'm not sure if I'm mixing D-Star and Yaesu stuff, but Yaesu, there's I think there's a big following now just because the repeaters are so cheap and they do FM and digital modes. So a lot of the clubs are taking their aging repeaters and saying, hey, $500 is no big deal when it comes to a repeater. We'll put it up and give it a shot. I can tell you that like with anything, at 50 watts, the repeater here is only, a system fusion repeater is only rated at 50% duty cycle. So, you know, a lot of the guys, I don't think they're going to run it at 50 watts. They're probably still going to run it at 5 or 10 watts and put an amplifier on it. You know, it's in its infancy, so it's going to take a little bit of just kind of sitting back and seeing what happens. And it's real great that we've got one of the best groups in the, frankly, in the country, that we have the ability to do this as an educational group, get some of this equipment for amateurs and put up a repeater, whether it's D-Star or Fusion or just even FM analog stuff, get it up there and so amateurs can use it. We're pretty blessed when it comes to that. So you got a good group, a good tech committee, good sponsor of the club that are helping out with that. Any ZAK, any other check-ins or questions?
WASYD.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, as far as Lucas's question, if it'll time out in the future, so to speak, first it's just conjecture, but truthfully, anybody that still owns operating equipment is probably going to try and champion this stuff from time to time. There's almost nothing sold that people aren't still trying it, except maybe spark gap. And on the islands on the air, that sounds interesting. If we can at least listen to it on the day of the class, I'm sure that'll be more than a couple of people who would care at least one iota about it. And on the Glass City Marathon, Rick, K8RKS, is still looking for additional folks, you know, and the time is getting close here. So that was his information to me just today. So if anyone is not signed up to help out on at least one of the spots, he could use some help here. I'll put the number out if anybody expresses an interest here. WASYD.
And Mike, I don't have a problem if you want to put his number out there, and for others, send a note to K8RKS at the league. He is looking for operators. If you're unsure, if you've never done it before, it's a great time. You get a T-shirt, and you can even get lunch and stuff out of it if you talk your way into the tent at the finish line. Those are some. It's a real fun event to work. And definitely give Rick a call there or send him an email if you're interested. And I don't know if you want to give that out or not, Mike, NHZAK.
Okay, the number that he always publishes is 419-471-0573. Generally, he'll answer that when he's not at work, so... that should be it for the moment. WASYD.
Okay, thanks for that, Mike. And if nobody else has got any other questions, we'll probably shut the net down. Anybody else got any questions or want to check in and just have their name on the roll call? Give me a call here, NHZAK. Nothing heard. It's one of those things you could talk for hours about this stuff, and to me it's pretty interesting. It's a lot of fun, and if you've never tried it, let us know. Shoot us a note. We'll be glad to bring some of our radios to a next tech committee meeting or a general meeting and let you play with them, listen to what the different sounds sound like. Some people like it, some people don't. So we can show you the ropes and how to play with this stuff. So, shoot me an email, NHZAK at the league, if you got any questions. And we'll go ahead and thank TMRA for allowing us to have the use of the repeater here on the 147270 repeater. And we'll call tonight. NHZAK, I'll be clear and listening. Any Yaesu Fusion guys, stick around for half a second. NHZAK, and returning the frequency to normal amateur use. Dan or Dave, if you guys are still floating around. I don't have a duplexer here to hook this up, so I'd kind of like to just, I don't know if either of you guys can hit it, but I guess that's the thing, is that I'd almost have to finagle something antenna-wise. Anybody interested in a ZAK?
Yeah, I can do that, K-E-8-U-E.
Maybe, you know, I've got this Kenwood here. I could take the duplexer out of it and hook it up just to jerry-rig something, but maybe I'll have to do that for, like, a weeknight. Not sure, because I've really only got one good antenna on the outside of the house since we're in an antenna-restricted environment here, so I'd have to take this one offline. I might have to play with this, because whether you want the transmit side to at least have some power to it, but then the receive side, I don't know if it'll be too weak for it to pick up one of you guys. So maybe I'll have to finagle something this week and give you guys a ring and have you test it out, or drop the repeater off to one of you guys that might have a high profile antenna. Any takers on that?
Well, I'm high profile.
That's true. You know, it's even set up with a bona fide set of repeater frequencies too. It's coordinated with Ohio, so my assumption is I wouldn't run into a problem if I stashed it at your place for if you guys wanted to test stuff out until TMRA stuff came in. But that's totally up to you, Dan. I don't want to put you out. Maybe the easiest is just to set up something here and get it, you know, on the second story and put it up 20 feet and see what happens.
And it don't matter for a short period of time, it'll be okay. The antenna that I'm on now is 65 feet, so, and you can run it at 5 watts and can run it into a brick if you need to.
Would it have, I guess that's the question is would I need I'd obviously need, if you're going to run it off a single antenna, we'd need a diplexer or something to get both of these, the TX port and the RX port, just to put out over the same antenna there.
Might be able to come up with something. One will be low profile, the other one would be high profile. If we took the one at low profile and put it on the transmit, it would. We could do that. Give me a call later. Let me look around and see how I can come up. I can do a. I'm sure. I can do a low-profile antenna and a higher profile and one near the house or in the whatever, and it might be enough. I'm not sure what the distance is that has to be to, you know, for descents. Might be able to just run one or the, you know, two different antennas. I got a spare diamond discone that I could set up somewhere. K-E-8-U-E.
With a crossband.
That's a real good question. Let me plug it in here and see, because, let's see, what's one of the questions? Let me just stick a dummy load on this just to be safe. But, you know, profile-wise, would you want the receive? I guess you'd probably want the receive higher than the transmit. Let me fire this up. Hang on a second.
Yeah, Mike's got not a good idea if it'll crossband. That'll work really well. And I'm not sure what the physical separation would be on 2 meters. That could be figured out. Go ahead, Mike. KE8UE.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about it. You can work with a lot less separation share and antenna, probably, if you can dual band it. And I don't know if it's got two antenna connectors or just a single antenna connector. If it only has a single connector, it's possible that it was a repeater. So it has to have some internal stuff. So I have no idea how it works. I'd read the book first. I'm a great fan of reading the books. WASYD.
Yeah, I think it has a receive and a transmit from what he was indicating. And so that would be, what we all have to do. But I run two different radios on two different systems, and I don't see that it's a problem. I'll have to check that out. KE8UE standing by.
Two of their mobile radios, two of the Yaesu FT400s or whatever. And the owner's manual, of course, is just 30 pages, and it's all just, you know, this push button does this, and this push button does that. So it's all touch screen. My goal was just to get it up and let people play with it before, you know, because we don't know where everybody is on the list with regards to TMRA stuff and HZAK.
You were on, Dan. W8SYD.
Step down, you might. Try it again.
I just said that you won. Zach. W8SYD.
Alright, well, I don't know where I left off, but it will do. At least it'll let me put in 2 meter frequency up top and 440 at the bottom, so I don't know if it'll do true crossband or not.
Zach, do you have a Fusion HT, KD8EVN?
No, and that was my problem, was I either spent $500 for the repeater, or I spent $500 for the HT. So I said, you know what, since they're giving them the clubs for a steal, I figured I'd pick that up first before it disappeared. And then, of course, they went to the anybody can get them. So this little experimental club that I have, basically, I purchased this. So no, the answer is no, it's the HT.
No joy, KD8EVN.
You can check it out on analog, though, with a conventional HD.
I'll look around, see what I can come up with. I've got enough antennas here I can do something with. I can vacate one of the scanner antennas and use it. And they're about 100 feet away, so that would probably work. I don't need the. I won't do the digital, but I'll do the analog scanner. We can come up with something. KE8UE.
Do you copy that, Zach? You can check it out on the analog side too. W8SYD.
Yeah, roger that, Dan, and yeah, Mike, actually I thought about running the net from it, just listening on the receive side through a scanner and then transmitting on the TX side out the outside antenna, so, you know, that's my thing, is I just want to, you know, let the club play with it, because I know some guys have the Fusion HTs, and we have questions, you know, will it transmit digital pictures over, you know, will it do that simplex, or will it actually go through the repeater? These are kind of questions that nobody's really sure of. So, you know, since I got one, I have no problem letting somebody with a little bit of a profile go ahead and set it up. Or even loaning it to the club if you guys want to get something up there quick. So I'm game if you guys are, but it's totally up to you. And maybe that's a session we can have later. N-8-Z-A-K.
Okay. Well, just kind of let me know. Give me a day or two in advance to what you come up with, and we can come up with something here. N-8-Z-A-K-K-E-A-U-E.
All right, will do. Yeah, as long as you got somebody else to talk to, and if Dave's got a HT or something, I know Dave has. It'd be a good. You guys can probably be ahead of the game and tell us all how it works. So, all right, thanks, thanks, Mike, thanks, Dave, and thanks, Dan. I'll probably be clear on your last go around. So, this is NHDAK, and I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, well, you did a good net. 73 for now. K-E-8-U-E.
Yeah, I agree, Zach. Good net tonight. Again, I could just sit here and listen to you talk on this. It brings up a lot of things that I'm interested in, and you're touching all the bases in the right manner. So, great net tonight. Really appreciate you taking it, and have a good time. I'll be looking forward to playing around with that repeater if Dan gets it. N-8-Z-A-K, this is KD-8-EVN, and I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, no, thanks for letting me take it. It's one of those, I mean, look, it can be a complex subject, and, you know, if you don't have pictures and stuff to look at, too, and, you know, sometimes that's the easiest way to do it is to just look at how big is 6 kilohertz compared to, you know, FM and that kind of stuff. So, no, thanks for letting me take it, and thanks for being my ANC tonight. I'll shoot you the list of all the check-ins here and shoot a couple links in there, too, so whoever you send off to, at least they'll have what they need if they want to do some more digging into this kind of stuff. So, thanks, Dave, and everybody else there. This is N-8-Z-A-K, and I'll be clear.